So again, this is text 28 when there is no purport. So we'll just read read the translation. Making a loud sound, a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth, his eyes closed because of fear of Nrisimhadeva's laughter. Text 29. Vishvakspurantam grahanaturam harer. Vyalo yata kum kulishak sata twacham. You couldn't make up this Sanskrit. Dwarurum upatya tadara lilaya. Nakhayata him gurudo mahavishvam. Vishvak. All around. Spurantam. Moving his limbs. Grahana aturam. Afflicted because of being captured. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadeva. Vyala, a snake. Yata, just as. Akum, a mouse. Kulisha, akshata. Not cut even by the thunderbolt thrown by Indra. Twacham, whose skin? Dwari, on the threshold of the door. Urum, on his thigh. Apatya, placing. Didara, pierced. Lilaya, very easily. Nakai, with the nails. Yata, just as. Ahim, a snake. Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Mahavishvam, very venomous. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisimhadeva captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there, and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisimhadeva placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Purport. Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep his promise of Lord Brahma intact, Nrisimhadeva placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which is neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction that he would not die either during the day or at night. Therefore, to keep the promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is at the end of the day and the beginning of night, but is neither day nor night. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Nrisimhadeva pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which are not weapons, and were neither living nor dead. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time they can be said to be alive. Keep intact all of Brahma's benedictions, Lord Nrisingadev paradoxically, but very easily, killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. Text 30. Lord Nrisingadev's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, decorated with garland of intestines, taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that had just been killed, an elephant. Purport, the hair on Lord Nrisingadev's face, being sprinkled with drops of blood, was reddish and looked very beautiful. Lord Nrisingadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's abdomen with his nails, pulled out the demon's intestines, and wore them as a garland, which enhanced his beauty. Thus the Lord became very fearful, fearsome, like a lion engaged in fighting an elephant. Well, we have two things here. One is Krishna as being the complete controller. And the other thing we have, persons like Hiranyakashipu asking for seemingly impossible to contradict benedictions. But considering Krishna's position as the supreme controller, for instance, Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani vartmanani to Arjuna, bhavishami to bhutani mam to vedana kasyana. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that's happened in the past. Everything's happening in the future, and everything that's going to happen in the everything that's happening in the present, and everything that's going to happen in the future. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. So, considering that, Krishna is in everyone's heart, and from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, neither Hiranyakashipu nor Brahma could say anything that Krishna was unaware of. Nor would Krishna give Brahma intelligence or Hiranyakashipu intelligence that he was not aware of. Now the question is, if everyone is depending upon Krishna's intelligence, Krishna is completely aware of everything, then where is the free will? Well, we have a very small free will. We can either agree to follow Krishna and surrender to him, or we can follow the material modes of nature, but even the modes of material nature are under Krishna's control. Although they're seemingly unlimited, the modes, but there are only three of them, combined in innumerable different ways. Therefore, if someone wants a benediction that he's never going to die, he's not going to get the benediction because no one will give it to him. As Lord Brahma, when he was originally approached by Hiranyakashipu, well, actually, Brahma approached Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was no condition to approach Lord Brahma at that time because he didn't have a body with to do so. In any case, Brahma approached Lord Hiranyakashipu and asked him, what kind of benedictions do you want? And the first benediction was, I won't die. And Brahma said, sorry, I can't give you that benediction because even I must die. Now, probably, since I'm a conditioned soul, if I could give you the benediction that you won't die, I would give myself the same benediction. But I can't do that because I'm going to die. So how can I give it to you? An intelligent person at that time would think, well, if he can't give me the benediction, he can't die, that whatever benedictions he gives me is not going to help me not to die. Because otherwise, Brahma could have given himself the benediction that he wouldn't be killed in day and night, he wouldn't be killed in the inside or outside, he wouldn't be killed by any animal, bird, or beast, whatever. He could have given himself the same benediction. But he said, I still have to die. So that's called your intelligence being taken, Hiranyakashipu's intelligence being taken away by illusion. But that's understandable because unless Hiranyakashipu's intelligence was taken away by illusion, we wouldn't have this pastime. In any case, he was happy to receive 100 benedictions, where he was assured that he wouldn't die, but the simple fact is that the person who gave him the benedictions said he's going to die. He couldn't prevent his own death, so he could have, Brahma could have given himself the same 100 benedictions, plus 100 benedictions more, and he still would die anyhow. The conclusion is, there is no benediction we can get in this material world that's going to prevent this body from dying. Matter of fact, if someone said, let me have the benediction that all the cells and all the atoms in my body won't change for one moment, we can't even get that benediction because no one in this universe can do that. They can't even, Brahma or anyone else, can't they stop their own body from changing. Brahma only lives for 311,040,000,000,000 years, and he doesn't live 100 years more than that. Even if he does exercise and takes his vitamin pills, you know, and is nice to his grandmother, he still has to only live for 311,040,000,000,000 years, then he has to die. That means he can't change, stop his own body from changing. How can he stop anyone else's body from changing? He has no power. And Krishna says that kalasmi lokashe kripravrido, that time I am the destroyer of all the worlds. And he's coming to engage everyone. There's no exception. Krishna doesn't make any exceptions. Krishna, since time immemorial, has never given anyone that benediction, nor will in the future will he give anyone that benediction. As time, Mrityu Sarvaharas Jaham, he's declared, I take everyone's life away. Time is not meant to give you eternal life here in the material world. Time is meant to take everything away. And time is what's controlling the whole universe. And therefore the whole universe is always changing and will always change. The only place where it doesn't change is the spiritual world. So if one wants to live forever, then one has to go to the spiritual world. Otherwise, the whole, even if you got somehow or another, inconceivably or impossibly, you got someone got the benediction that their body wouldn't change, they'd stay here, but what would happen at the time after 311,000,000,000,000 years? Where would you be? After the whole cosmic manifestation is destroyed and enters into the body of Mahavishnu, what would you do? Where would you be? And what can you do for the next 311,040,000,000,000 years? There's no one there. There's nothing to do. You get pretty bored after, you know, a few hundred billion years. You get a little bored. So, Hiranyakashipu thought himself very intelligent, but everyone in the material world is unintelligent because their intelligence has been taken away by illusion. Therefore, someone who surrenders to Krishna, they're intelligent, everyone else is a fool. Of course, there may be different degrees of surrender to Krishna. The Varnashram system is a gradual development of surrender to Krishna, at least, if not always directly, but at least indirectly. Of course, everyone, Krishna says, is surrender to me. Yeyatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhujamyaham. Whatever benedictions, whatever we're getting, is all due to Krishna's arrangement. And therefore, according to how one acts, whether consciously or unconsciously of Krishna, then one will get their reward. Hiranyakashipu got his reward by austerity. If you perform austerity, like Hiranyakashipu, then you can also get the same benediction Hiranyakashipu did. Because that's how the material energy works. On the other hand, getting the body of Hiranyakashipu will not save one from death, nor will it make one a devotee of Krishna, nor will it make one happy. Even when one merges in Brahman, where there's true eternity, you can stay there as long as you want. You can stay there for many lifetimes of Brahma. 311,000,000,000,000 years is nothing in Brahman. It goes by in an instant in Brahman. But still, one won't be happy. It's kind of boring just sitting there in the big light, nice and warm, but after a while you get used to it. You wonder if there's another channel you can turn on. Something a little bit more interesting going on. Therefore, people voluntarily come back to the material world from Brahman. But when one is in the material world, one has no choice but to go through old age, disease, and death. It's only by either merging Brahman or merging the super soul or going to Vaikuntha or Krishna Loka that one can actually avoid death. Otherwise, it's not possible. No matter how, what austerity, what penance, what charity you give, whatever you do, even according to the Vedic literature, you can only achieve up to the platform that Hiranyakashipu achieved. And then you die anyhow. And not only that, but generally speaking, when people commit sinful activities, because they think they become very powerful, then they have to suffer the results of those sinful activities also. Even powerful personalities have become, enter into the lower species of life because they did things which were wrong. For instance, Bharat Maharaj, he did something wrong and he came back as a deer. Till nature is not so forgiving. If you think of a deer at the time of death, and you come back as a deer, even if you're remembering that you were a devotee in your last lifetime. Special compensation. Similarly, sometimes powerful personalities such as Vishvamrita Muni curse kings and then the kings curse them and they become animals for some time. They have to give up their bodies and sometimes they even have to take lower forms of life. So many things are there in the material nature, so many possibilities that one should not be so confident that by my intelligence I can actually find some place in the material world where all my desires will be fulfilled, especially my desires for eternal life, full of bliss and knowledge. One should learn from the example of Hiranyakashipu. Krishna says it's not possible, and we should probably accept that it's not possible, and then do something practical to get what we actually want, namely pure devotional service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you. Just the other day, I had a discussion with Nasimha Seva Prabhu, and he said that he had heard from somebody that all inhabitants of the spiritual world are exactly the same height and that they have the same bodily physique. I told him that it wasn't so. So who's right?
Anyhow, people hear so many things. I can make up a story and you can tell someone else's story. So what's the reference? What's the authority? What's the value of someone coming up with such a thing? Unless they cite some scripture or something. I mean, how is it even reasonable? Everyone's the same height. You're 1 centimeter higher and they throw you out of the spiritual world. It's not according to scripture. There's nothing that the scripture says differently. Brihat Bhagavatamrita says that in the spiritual world, the souls there have all different forms. All the different incarnations, sometimes because they're worshippers in the incarnations, they take those forms. And you think the gopis are the same height as Krishna's? Ridiculous. Anyhow. Anyhow, as Prabhupada said, you know, so many things when Prabhupada was here, people say, Prabhupada said this. Prabhupada said, whoever said this, my name is a rascal. Process speaking spiritual circles is that one should at once quote from authority to back up what one's saying. That's Bhagavad Gita 15, 16. 16? What was the guess? It could be 17. 17. Chapter 17. Text 15, 16? 15. Anuvegam Kuran Bhaktiya. process of speaking in spiritual circles to say something upheld by scripture. One should at once quote from scriptural authority to back up what one is saying. Otherwise, we can have discussions on so many, made up things, fairy tales. Anything else?
She's asking Maharaj if in this lifetime, we only have to suffer the consequences, our karma. Is that all we have to do in this lifetime? And the second question she's asking if all the things that has to happen must happen in this way. So if I have to suffer, I will suffer. If we are tested by Krishna in this lifetime with his behavior in this way.
That's our tate nukampam susamikshamano punjana eva atmakritam vipakam vidvagva pudir vividanamaste jiveta jiveta, is that the first one? What's that? Jiveta samukti sadesa bayadak. That praying for Krishna's mercy, tate nukampam susamikshama. When we see things properly, sumikshamano, then we can understand that if we're suffering, it's due to the reactions of our own past misdeeds. And therefore, the purpose is to help us become Krishna conscious, to take shelter of Krishna. And if we do that, we concentrate our minds upon Krishna in the midst of the suffering and go on with our Krishna consciousness and devotional service, then that's our eligibility to enter into the spiritual world. Otherwise, if we can't do that, there's no possibility of entering into the spiritual world. So reactions are not bad. They're coming due to our own past activities, and Krishna is arranging them in such a way as to help our progress in devotional service. So the devotee doesn't curse them or become resentful of them, he welcomes them as an opportunity for a spiritual advancement. All right, thank you very much. Krandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.